Go, go, go.
That is Go by the Indigo Girls, talking about grandma being a suffragette, women's voting.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. This is Vocal Profiling Live. You're listening to BBS Radio. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. In the studio today is Cassie on sound and recording. Ben's behind the camera. And Beth is going to act as co-host today. This is the first time you've been on the show, isn't it?
It is. I'm very excited.
And you're here because you have some really strong opinions about voting. That music is by Go?
No, it's called Go by the Indigo Girls.
By the Indigo Girls.
Yes.
How did you ever find such an appropriate sound?
I actually had a class in my undergrad institution, Allen's University, and my teacher made a feminist mix CD for us, and that was one of the songs on it.
Well, it's certainly appropriate for today because we are going to talk about women's voting, and we are broadcasting live. You can go to bbsradio.com, BBS, boysam.com. We are broadcasting if you want to watch because we do have a PowerPoint we're going to share with you. And we have with us on the phone Valerie Rice. Valerie, are you there?
I'm here.
And Valerie sent me an incredibly powerful PowerPoint. Are you ready to talk about that PowerPoint when we get there?
I can talk about it some when we get there, yes.
Okay. Here on this show with Vocal Profiling Live, we have callers call in and we do the evaluation of your voice right over the phone. We're not going to be able to do much of that this evening unless you want to talk about your voting, but we're going to do some other things first. We have taken some PowerPoints of Beth and her opinions, and they are strong opinions about Obama and McCain. But the idea is that you call in, you give us a sample of your voice, and because of the frequencies and the architectures in your voice and the patterns, we can tell much of what you're thinking. The last few weeks we have done an Obama and McCain comparison, and we'll show you a little bit more about that because I've added to it. We did Palin and Biden. We did Palin and McCain. We did Biden and Obama. We did a little bit about the health of each of the candidates. And I think that was a little surprising. We did it on Thursday, and then CNN turned around and did it, I think they did it on Saturday at 8. Did you listen to that?
No, I didn't catch it.
I was so excited to listen to that. So it was going to confirm what we were saying with people's vocal profiles, but they really didn't talk about it. They said sort of McCain had released his records and Obama really didn't release his records, that Obama was a smoker and he quit smoking to become president, but they talked about John F. Kennedy and Addison's and some of the presidents that had traveled with a physician, but they really didn't talk about the candidates. The present candidates, president and vice presidential. So if you guys want to see that, where we talked about McCain's issues, his health issues, and he is by far the unhealthiest presidential candidate of the four, and I think Palin was next, although in between McCain and the other three, there's a big gap, but we talked about Palin and the use of the B vitamins, Biden and some free radical trouble that he's having, and Obama with some iron issues. So if you want to look at that, you can go to vocalprofiling.com, and we've got them posted there. We're also going to post them on nanovoice.org, and remember, that's a place where you can get your free program to learn to do this. I'm talking about computer program and the manual and the class. And it's free. You've had yours done, haven't you?
I have.
You're a new person here on staff, and what do you think?
It was amazing. It's amazing how topic-specific it is, because once you speak on something, it shows you how much emotion you're using, or it shows other people how you feel while you're talking about that topic, and how much you're actually thinking when you're involved with that topic. It's awesome.
Well, if you want to call and talk to us, and boy, did we get a lot of mail about the health one. There seems to be a controversy that they won't vote for McCain because they don't want Palin to be president.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first woman president. But I was very surprised when I looked up some of the statistics. You know, there's been 76 women run for vice president. Does that shock you?
That does.
The only one I could remember was Geraldine Farrar.
I can't believe the number's that high.
Well, look at some of these parties. I didn't even know we had such parties. Citizens' parties, New Alliance parties, Socialist Party, Communist Party, Looking Back Party, Independent Party, Green Party, American Party, Washington Peace Party. I didn't know we had all of those parties. Libertarian, I understand, I recognize. But Geraldine Farrar ran in 1984, but she was the only one that I could remember. And Palin's on here. This is from Wikipedia, my information of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran, but there are two other women vice presidential candidates running right now. The Green Party, Rosa Clemente, and the Socialist Workers Party, Allison Kennedy.
You never hear about them.
No, or you never hear about Ron Paul.
No.
And so I can talk about McCain and Obama because I'm voting for Ron Paul. I know what he stands for is radical, but it just, because it's radical, it brings us to the realization of how far we have strayed from the original intent of our forefathers in bringing this country together. But I think if Ron Paul got elected, there would be radical, radical change.
And that's what this campaign's about, change.
You know, I've talked to people...
Or it's supposed to be.
I've talked to people about this campaign, and they're either very ambivalent, they don't know who to vote for, or they're very emotional. I heard a man, and we were in a public place, and I don't remember where it was, but a lot of people around, and he was kind of a older guy, and I'm in the older group, but he was older than I was, and he said he was not going to vote for Obama if Hillary was his running mate, because he didn't want a white woman taking orders from a black man.
Yeah. It's amazing, and especially moving to Southern Ohio and reading some of the opinion polls when people were exiting from voting in the primary, you have these strategists and these political experts that vary on why Ohio won't vote for Obama. Some say because Southern Ohio has a strong Clinton following. So they would vote for Hillary because they are Clinton maniacs, basically. But then you have the other side of the scale where they say, well, you know, this is a very racist part of the state, and race is an issue here. Whereas it might not be so much in other parts of the country. Race really plays a part here. And then you have those strategists who kind of ride the middle. They say, well, both really factor in here in Southern Ohio. But there are lots of portions of the country where that really is still an issue, whether we want it to be or not. I mean, that's just the reality.
And there's people saying that I won't vote for McCain because I don't want to vote for a woman, because he's going to die and there'll be
Pick
a woman.
The bucket.
You know, but I don't believe much in opinion polls, because when Bush carried our county, I could not find one person that voted for Bush.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that anyway in what's going on. I want to ask you a question, Valerie.
Okay.
Would you introduce yourself first and how you ended up on the show and associated here?
My name is Valerie Rice, and I work for the Army. I do research for a living. And my background is I'm both an occupational therapist and a human factors engineer. And we're doing some work with the research with Jerry, and looking at the ability to detect when somebody does and does not have a traumatic brain injury. So I have been out to visit Sherry and see what they do and take the class, and so I could learn enough about it to at least converse somewhat intelligently and to set things up for the research project. And since then, we've continue to email, and I tune in when I can to her radio station, and I ask her questions all the time.
And
she graciously answers.
And why did you send me the PowerPoint about women voting?
Well, for women's voting, the PowerPoint that I sent, and some people may have seen it, because I think a lot of us have been sending it around the web, is because we tend to forget, and we, I think as a group, women have not really banded together in the way that they did in years past when they were working for their rights, even in the 20 years ago. And we've become a little complacent. And so this PowerPoint is about a time in the late teens, 1917, 1920s, when women were fighting for the right to vote. And we have forgotten that they just weren't walking around with little placards, being all calm and everything being nice. When they went out to protest and try to get the right to vote, they were arrested. They were put in prison. Some of them were beaten. And they really believed that it was our right to vote, just as it was a man's right to vote. And you mentioned race. I mean, it's kind of the same kind of thing there. When our country was founded, and when they talked about the right to vote, that was only really for white men. And so when I looked at this PowerPoint, I thought, boy, I have got to send this to everyone I know, men and women. Although I've got to admit that the feedback from women was better than the feedback from some of the men. But many of them said that they would send it on to their wives and their girlfriends and their daughters.
You think voting is a right or an obligation?
I think a little bit of both. I hate to say that something's an obligation, but if you want to have a say-so, if you want to have any voice in how the government is behaving, then yes, I think that it is an obligation. And that if you don't take that on, that you basically have no room to complain about anything because you're not participating.
Have you done any studies of the history of the women vote?
Oh, some of the histories of the women vote, but not a whole lot, no.
Does anybody here, and people in the studio included, do you know if the women's vote has ever been an instrument of change? Is there enough clout in the women's votes to make a difference?
There's enough this year. I read an article. No, a woman. It was a poll, but she said that today, 25% of the voters are single women, and so if they actually did all vote, and then the ability to make. And the poll was by a woman named Celinda Lake.
Do you think that women are going to vote because of vote for McCain because of Sarah Palin, or because of McCain's issues?
I think there'll be a little bit of both, where some may vote for her because she's female, but I think that I think the vast majority will choose the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, right now, again, looking at the polls, there are more women in Obama's camp than there are in McCain's. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because Obama talks an awful lot about rights and about the right to choose and even about the rights of gays. I don't know if that's it. Well, exactly why, but right now there are more women saying that they're going to vote for Obama than for Palin and McCain.
Do you think that Palin and McCain's stand on abortion is causing some of that?
I do. I think, especially for single women, they want to have that right to make a decision themselves.
Are you allowed to tell us, or would you share where you're leaning?
You know, it's really hard because I lean back and forth depending on what the issue is. On that particular issue, I really think that it is an individual right more than a legislative right to make a decision about what you want to do about being pregnant, especially for those individuals who have been raped or there are other circumstances of health. You know, when they say, oh, if the health is threatened, then we will take a look at that, you know, that's really tough. Try going and finding healthcare professionals that will come back and say she's going to die if she has this child, therefore it has to happen. They may not. You could have been raped by anybody or even a family member, and it's, you know, if it's legislated, we'll have a very difficult time being able to get an abortion, should you want one.
In this election, I see complacency on one side. I'm not even going to vote. I don't like either one of them. Or total fight and stand up and duke it out and yelling and a lot of hostility between issues. I haven't been in a lot of elections. How many if I'm 60 years old? But I've never seen that polarization happen from total complacency to total hostility. Are you leaning toward one candidate or the other?
Well, like I said, depends on the issue. Depends on the issue. I'm going back and forth, and it is a really tough decision because some things, like economics, I'll lean one way, and when it's personal rights, I'll lean another way. And I don't think this is an easy election for a lot of people.
But that's a novel idea, Valerie. Split your vote.
You know, I have thought about that. That splitting of the vote does not sound like a bad idea.
What about you, Beth?
Well, I think a lot of people have a hard time. I kind of ride the line in one way or another, but I've tried to do some research into their voting records in the Senate because, you know, I'm voting on the presidential candidates, not the VP. And as far as the voting records are concerned, I mean, for a guy who talks about a lot of change, Obama hasn't really voted for or against anything. A lot of times he votes present, no vote. And I do have a problem with electing someone who doesn't have a strong opinion and won't lean in one direction or the other, at least if someone votes for or against something, I know where they stand. And I do have a problem with Obama because of that. I'm not a strong McCain supporter, but I do see that he has some strengths in areas of leadership that I don't think Obama has yet, and that kind of makes me nervous about him becoming president.
Well, up on the screen right now, we have a vocal profile of Beth talking about Obama. That's the top one. And for those of you who have been with us for a while, please bear with me while I talk to our new listeners. If these graphs are blue, it's an emotional issue. If it's green, it's accomplished. Yellow, think, and red, react. Can you see how she made her decision about Obama? Totally mental. Very little, practically none. One little smidge over here of a 2, and normal is 42. But most of her decisions have been made about F sharp and G. Just exactly what you said, his decisions and acting on those decisions. F sharp is carrying out what you plan or finding a way, a method to carry out your plan. And G is the physical fruition of that plan. So that's awesome that comes out exactly like your print. Now here's talking about McCain. There is some emotion here about McCain, and there's some accomplished here where you say he's accomplished more than Obama, and there it is, green, 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 some green here, but this F-sharp green, he doesn't have a plan. So if we could take these polls before an election about why people are voting for a certain thing at a certain time, I think the candidate's campaign would act on it.
Oh, definitely.
If there was a place where we could call in and give our opinion, pro or con, maybe to CNN or one of those big news shows, they could get a real feel for why this is happening. We should propose that to them.
We should. Because that's a very big debate, is why are people voting for or against someone?
You know, and I've heard some people recently here say, I'm not voting for Obama because he's black. And they try not to make that a national issue, but it's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, why not? What makes the difference? And she couldn't tell me. It was just very emotional, sort of like ingrained in her
right. Someplace.
That seems very wrong. But just as women had to fight for the right to vote, blacks had the same issue. Valerie, do you have any heroes in this election? Issues that are really, really important to you, one way or the other?
Well, some of the ones we talked about, certainly personal rights are really, they're really top for me, and I was amazed to see when Biden and Palin did their debate that Biden said outright with no holds barred that would support equal rights for I was so surprised to hear that and so pleased to hear that someone would actually say that out loud. You know, that's an issue that I think is really important and is coming to the forefront. The economic crisis, though, is on everybody's mind, and I think for everybody, it's not just how does it affect me personally? How does it affect the nation as a whole? And sometimes when you look at their plans, you can see some things that would help the nation as a whole, but that could actually make you pay higher taxes.
Right.
So, you know, all of those issues I think are really important. I thought the education was really important, but I didn't like either of the answers. I didn't think they were very specific. It sounded to me like they were both saying education is good and we need to do things and here's a couple little things we can do, but it didn't seem to really push one way or another, even though they also said on the same show that the United States is falling behind the other nations in education no matter what grade you look at. And so they didn't really say much. They said everybody both looked at let's fund college for a lot of people, but I don't know that college is necessarily always the answer. There's a lot of other things that could be considered.
Yeah.
When we did their vocal prints on the economy, neither one of them had an answer.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else had an answer. This is kind of how they reacted, and this is the entire first presidential debate put on one wave file. This is how they are going to respond overall, general, to anything going on. The top one is McCain, the bottom one is Obama. You can see they're both multitaskers, but they have all four colors. With a lot of information at once, that's more the feeler kind of first reaction, as opposed to Obama's first reaction. I got a little bit of the computer in there, I'll move that a little bit. Obama's first reaction is to accomplish and to do something, and then feel it. Kane goes with feel, then accomplish. So it brings up, what traits do you really want in your president, and does it matter anyway?
Well, I mean, when you think about a lot of the issues, they can promise what they want, but there's no guarantee they can deliver, even if they have the best of intentions. They don't really run the country. They're, I feel like we're losing speaker here.
Got it. Valerie, show you've been cut off and we've got some static. Okay, well, you guys are fixing
this. Dad again. We were weak for a while.
Oh, you guys. Are you in
Valerie?
Difficulties?
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Sorry, I don't either. You cut off a little bit some when we were talking, and then I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to go in with this. And what do you want in your president or feel first? I think I would want think first.
Mm-hmm.
That needs, I think it's third on the list for both of them, and react is last.
Also like than thinking first, but I think it's very interesting what you looked at, because if you watch McCain, fluid even in his emotions, although, you know, they talk a lot about what they can see, and they say anger. Did you watch him when he got up and walked around the mat after the debate? He looks like he hurt. Mm-hmm. He looks like he physically has some pain. And yet, you know, I love it to hear that you say that he shows emotion early on, because it's hard to see in the game. Well, I think that when I look at Obama, the emotions and his Easter, in some ways I'm glad to hear it.
I don't want somebody who's going to push the panic button to do it emotionally first.
No, you want to do it first, but you also want them to at least have that emotion there, so that everything is not only...
Well, let's see how they feel and think. Okay, here's McCain at the top again, Obama at the bottom. McCain's feel, his first feel is about talk. And to talk it out, talk out the emotion. That sort of dampens it a bit for me, that he's not going to react first. But his strong point about talk is the feel part of him. And then he goes to accomplish, which is the green of carrying out plans here, which is the F sharp. As opposed to accomplish first for Obama, planning and the physicalness of it. His high point here, almost equal, is F and G. F, the planning, and G, carrying out or creating the results of that plan.
So would that mean that he would act quicker on the emotion?
Good question. Would he act quicker on the emotion? I think if we look at his feel, and it's also in planning, his blue is in planning, I think he would take more into consideration of, is this the right decision? Is this the moral decision? Rather than this is the logical decision. But they both have that in there. When you're looking at how they think, Obama thinks about management. His highest note is 13 out of 34 for management. And remember, 42 is normal. So that's way down from the rest of it. And the think for Obama is about resource management. That's pretty similar over here in A-sharp about resource management. But you have to look at these. There's almost half as much against a feel than there is to do something about it or to think about it. So we can get an idea of the personality here. And react for... McCain's reactions is about carrying out his plans. Again, the smallest little F here would be about carrying out his plans. And then for Obama, it's self-approval versus his words about reaction. And that's kind of a strange thing. His own self-approval about how he gave his word or how he stated things. So what's more important to you? They feel about it, talk it out with themselves. McCain has that ability. But Obama has more of an ability to consider other people's opinions about what's going on.
Right.
And there's some likenesses. They are both almost identical, and you can't see that very well, so I'm going to blow it up. Look at how similar they are in how they use words. Now, this is not about how they communicate, because... because everyone says that Obama is a great communicator.
Hey, Valerie.
What's going on?
I'm back. But it's their intention of their words. So the intention of the words, and you can see that McCain's intention is more highly emotional, and it drops down in the accomplish with his words, but they're almost equal. But still, both of them have an emotional content and intention to their words.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they alike? How are they different? I like this little react. They're not going to react with words. They're not going to retaliate without thinking about it.
Yeah, and if you notice, really, the hard lines of the campaigns have come from the VPs and not the president, the presidential candidates. It's like their vice presidential candidates are their attack dogs, you know? Like, I'm going to slam him. And then it's like the presidential candidates are kind of having to clean up.
Well, one of the things we said the first week Palin came on the scene was that she has the best vocal print for being president based on what I want to see in a president.
Right.
And what I want to see is somebody who keeps their word, who their word matches their deeds. And I've always thought that but you know, after I listened to some of Palin's words, I want to take it back. Some of her things, I think,
you know, like what she says.
Some things I just think she's off the wall. The comment about God wants the pipeline built. You know, that's religion and mixing religion with what ought to happen, and I don't like that very well. And the issues about rights, women's rights, I have that to be a problem. So we wanted to teach you something this evening about looking at your candidates. We've only looked at the top candidates, although Canada, their election's over, but they did ask us to look at the candidates before that happened. But this is how to tell when someone's not telling the truth. The note of E is words and how people use words. And its balancing note is A sharp. And when somebody has this much discrepancy in E and A sharp, one, the E is low and gone. They don't believe their words.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to do it to create an effect of some kind. So their words are not balanced with what they're doing, what they're saying. This is Nicole Wallace with Dana Rush right after the first presidential debate. And she's talking about, I think Dana Rush asked her about McCain's rehearsal of Obama doesn't understand, and she didn't really answer the question to my satisfaction, but she didn't believe what she was saying anyway. But in the next one, they ask her about Obama, and she's talking about what she didn't like about him. I'm trying to read what it says here at the same time, you guys. There's more of a belief in this one. See how high her E is? And her E and her A sharp are more balanced. She's bashing Obama here. So second position vice president bashing. Here is his top aide bashing. Do you wonder why people have to bash each other?
That's a very good question.
Why we have to listen to their public arguments? Why would anyone want to be president anyway? Half the people hate you when you start your new job.
Right. And right now, you've got to be crazy to run. Who wants to inherit the mess we've got, you know?
They're slowly digging out of the economic mess, but I don't think anybody really knows how to deal with it. When we first did Obama's voice, he was most compatible or most like Jimmy Carter. And I liked Jimmy Carter's about the people, and then Obama took a tougher stand. But in the end, he and Hillary had almost identical vocal print. And we posted that too. Ron Paul, I'm going to get on my soapbox in a minute, Ron Paul's vocal print looks the most like John F. Kennedy.
Now that's interesting, isn't it?
I found that incredible for what was going on. I'm going to go back to our PowerPoint here. Valerie, can you see the show? Are you?
I haven't been able to pull it up to see it, but I can, if you will, go through it while I'm, I don't know why I can't see it. If you want to go through it as I talk about each one, can you do that?
Okay, I didn't use exactly your prints. I used most of them. The first photograph is a record of the Women's National Women's Party, photograph of the picket line of the National Women's Party holding a banner in front of NWP headquarters.
Okay, that's good. Essentially, it was right around that time, 1920, that they were doing their biggest protest. And the one that was highlighted, the 3% was occurred in 1917, where they picketed in front of the White House to get the attention of President Wilson.
Yes, I have that one.
And a good number of them were arrested. There's an HBO movie.
And how can we get
the HBO movie is called Iron Dawn Angel.
Here's the part of the PowerPoint she's talking about where they were picketing Wilson. And there's one here that I just think is incredible about that picketing. This is Woodrow Wilson and his cronies tried to persuade a psychiatrist to declare Alice Paul insane so that she could be institutionalized because she was asking for votes. This is the lady in the rocking chair. And we can post this PowerPoint for you that we've done to show along with part of the top of this look at what is happening instead of me trying to run around each one of them. And this was January 17th, asking for the right to vote, National Women's Party holding up banners. And it says, the first suffrage picket line leaving the National Women's Party headquarters to march to the White House gate. And they list the people here. You know, there's a Paul here. What is her name? I can't remember, but her last name is Paul. I would like to know if she's any relation to Ron Paul.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be great. The next one is of a grand picket at the White House on the eve of the President Wilson's second inauguration. That was January 4th, 1917. And they have some things to say about that. I looked up some other information. So do you recognize which one I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah. That was the one I was talking about. I think that's the one that became called the Night of Terror.
Yes, that was part of it. They called it several things. I've gotten my notes all mixed up, so I don't know where anything is here.
Imprisoned in the Occoquan Workhouse in Virginia. And the warden at that time to go ahead and teach them a lesson instead of turning a blind eye.
The grand picket, more than 1,000 women. And they marched seven times around the wall of Jericho, supposedly, grand picket at the White House, the eve of President Wilson's second inauguration, March 4th, 1917. Cassie, you're really young. Are you going to vote? Can you come up here and get closer to the phone?
I don't know if I'm going to vote. I've voted in the other elections, but I don't know. I don't feel like my vote is counted. I feel like the people who are really in power choose who the president is and rig voting machines. I've seen lots of documentaries about it. So I'm upset because when I first turned 18, I was so excited I would get to vote and I was going to do my civic duty. And time after time again, I guess I don't know if the change is going to come about from a from us voting for a president. I think somebody needs to change the military-industrial complex into feeding and clothing and sheltering the world. And with since that costs less money than armament, we could get everybody out of the mortgage crisis and build millions of schools. I want a candidate who would do that.
But you just don't think there's any candidate that deserves your vote, so you're not going to vote?
I don't know. I mean, I'll write in Ron Paul, because I also want a president that will legalize it. So I think his stance is firm on that.
Do you think maybe people thought his stance was too radical?
Perhaps he's not getting any media attention, really.
It's really not. You don't ever hear about.
No.
Except on BBS radio. In that same year, we've got some stats up here. This is 1917. After that march in January, April, federal women's suffrage amendment introduced in the House by Jeanette Rankin of Montana, first woman elected to Congress, formally joined the House of Representatives. That's a milestone. April 4th, the suffrage amendment introduced. Then World War II, then Lucy Burns and Dora Lewis, and you're going to see them here in a second, and how an angry crowd and how they were arrested because they were picketing for the right to vote. This says a policewoman arrests Florence Germans of Minnesota and Annie Arnail, maybe, because they refused to give up their picket sign. Was it because they wanted to vote or... Or what? Here's them, the one that Valerie was talking about, the women in front of the...
Yes, I believe it was. If they want more, they want to vote. Obviously, they also were looking for more people's rights in general, but it's just for them to win that vote.
Down the PowerPoint. It's a wonderful quote. And the other thing, when I was looking up some of this from the perspective, a lot of the times these women were portrayed as unhappy, spinsters, ugly, old women. And you're going to see here that that's just not true. This is Lucy Burns, and she was arrested, thrown in jail, so barely alive at the end of the night. 40 prison guards wielded clubs and warden's blessing on a rampage against the 33 women wrongly convicted of obstructing sidewalk traffic. They beat her, and this is from the Women's Museum about this. They beat Lucy Burns, chained her hands to the cell bars above her head, and left her hanging for the night, bleeding and gasping for air. I don't want to think that my country would do that to women. Just because they wanted to vote. I'm appalled that I'm a part of a nation that would do that, but I'm appalled about what they did to Indians and blacks and a lot of things. But
the
country didn't do it, the people did it. Somebody in the audience is saying here. These women in prison for weeks, they only had water from an open pail, their food, all of it colorless, up, was infested with worms.
Good to have you back.
Really?
Now, remember in the other things where they're trying to portray these women as unsatisfied old spinsters? This is a beautiful woman. This is Dora Lewis. Hurled into a dark cell, smashed her head against an iron bed and left her out cold. Her cellmate, Alice Cousu,
maybe,
thought Lewis was dead and suffered a heart attack. additional affidavits describe the guards as grabbing, dragging, beating, choking, slamming, pinching, twisting, and kicking these women. Now, if you've been complacent about voting, the fact that these women suffered for you to be able to vote, go right in Bugs Bunny. Go exercise your right to write in Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yes, that's right. And I think that it is hard to understand if you really, if your vote counts. I read somewhere else where somebody said they weren't going to vote because they were married and their husband was going to vote the opposite way, and so they would just cancel each other out, so why bother? But you know what? You don't know whose vote you are or are not count. You know, chance wouldn't help. And I also do agree that sometimes what you're voting for is not what you consider the best candidate. You're voting for the lesser of the evil. But still, your opportunity to make that statement and to put that forth, whether it's for the two main parties or for one of the other lesser-known parties.
I think this election is going to end up being known as the election of censor. I believe Ron Paul has been censored by his writings, by his books. He wrote a book about our country's rights. It barely got any notice. I think he got on a couple of TV shows and then sold it from his website. Anybody else with that stature, it would have been all over the news. So the fact that, I think commercialism, the people who paid for the commercials are probably the same ones paying for the candidates of their choice to keep their rights going. And I am absolutely appalled by the health care that's going on. I like McCain's health care less than I like Obama's, but still, they have forced health care to allow HMOs and insurance companies to dictate to us, the consumer, who's paying for it. It's ridiculous. Health care ought not to be forced down our throats, and
it shouldn't be a big devil.
Yes. Speaking of forced down your throat, this is Alice Paul, beautiful woman. When one of the leaders, Alice Paul, embarked on a hunger strike, they tied her to a chair. This is the warden and his cronies, to a chair, forced the tube down her throat, and poured liquid into her until she vomited. She was tortured like this for weeks until word was smuggled out to the press. That's what got the attention for these women. But right now, we can't even get the press to give attention to Ron Paul and other people. And it was on YouTube. It was all over the news. There was a guy by the name of Curtis something or the other. Can't remember his name. But he testified in a state court that he had been hired to not destroy, damage, corrupt, whatever, the voting machine, and to make them say what anybody wanted them to say. I think it was Georgia. Boy, I wish I could remember his name. I'll look it up and post it on the site. But he testified, and people ignored him, that he, under oath, was a computer programmer and testified that he had tampered with voting machines. And that brings up what Cassie was saying. She doesn't feel like her vote counts anyway.
Well, you have, like, the whole deal with Akron that just came out, you know, where they were going around polling people, trying to get them to vote in various districts that they weren't registered in to get a candidate ahead. I mean, you've got that end, plus you've got the end where you've got the Electoral College that will put who they want in there anyway, despite how we vote. So it makes it very difficult, whether you're very opinionated on someone or not, to know whether or not it really matters what you think.
Well, I think the Internet is really incredible. The blogs and stuff coming out, that's the way we're getting the word out to the people. And we are not a democracy anymore. Well, I don't know if we ever were.
No,
or
what,
until the Electoral College came, I think we were more of a democracy, but not now. It's more of a republic.
Mm-hmm.
We got two men in this room. Do either of you have an opinion?
About that, I think it's representative democracy, what this country is.
a representative democracy.
Absolutely.
Man from the audience, who are you voting for?
I'm saying who I'm going to vote for, but I do feel if you don't vote, some way it's forfeit your right to complain.
If you don't vote, you forfeit your right to complain.
I would agree with that.
Whether your vote matters much or not, vote is important procedure. Many countries wish they had.
Mm-hmm. Ben, are you willing to tell any of your opinions about this election?
I don't know if I'm educated enough. I guess my ignorance would maybe not be the best well-informed opinion at the moment. I'm still learning my own opinions on the candidates.
Cassie, we have about 1 minute. If you want to start your music real low as we have one last question. How important do you think the vice presidential race is in this election? Valerie or Beth, either one?
You can go first, Valerie.
How important is the vice presidential race, Valerie? I think she's gone. You get to go take this from Beth.
Well, it depends on whether or not you think one of the candidates is going to kick the bucket once they get in there, if they do. I think you should vote on the presidential candidate. However, yeah, there is a strong likelihood if you vote for one that he might not make it all the way through to see his term. So it depends whether or not you see them as a strong leader.
When we did the health thing, it's pretty plain that McCain has some immune issues. We want to leave you with this thought, and this is right out of the PowerPoint that Valerie sent to me and got me on this kick to share this with you folks. We need to get out and vote and use that right that was fought so hard by these courageous women, whether you vote Democratic, Republican, Independent, or any of these other 30 parties. Just remember to vote. And like I said, even if it's for Bugs Bunny. Write us at radio@vocalvoteprofiling.com. And if you're interested in the classes, the free classes about learning to do what we just did here with vocal profiling, it's class@vocalprofiling.com. Valerie, thank you for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Beth, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We want you back. Nice opinions. Great. Thank the crew, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Ha 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 ha.